Hello, welcome to Fish Talk on KYUK. We are we're waiting for Sam Berlin. The host is running a little behind, so I'm going to fill in. This is reporter Evan Erickson at the table with me for Fish Talk today. We have Alaska Department of Fish and Game Area Management biologist Sam Decker.
Hello, everyone.
And Avery Hoffman, biologist with the Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission. Thanks for joining us today. And we may have another guest come in, and we're going to have a host come in at some point here and fill in. But thanks for coming in today. So what are we seeing out there? If either of you want to chime in at the end of this 48-hour set net opener, we had this pair of set net opportunities. What's it looking like on the lower Kuskokwim or the upper or anywhere on the river, really?
Yeah, it sounds like it's been a nice 4th of July weekend, and but the weather's just been pretty windy and nasty. But I personally wasn't here around town, so I just got back yesterday afternoon. But what I've been seeing and hearing, that people do pretty good with the set nets, and they're happy for the opener. But it sounds like most of the people are pretty much done until silvers come in. And I seen a couple nets across the river last night, and they seem pretty hot. So seems to be quite a bit of river, or fish in the river. And Sam, do you have anything?
Yeah, I have an exciting sonar update. Yesterday on the sonar, we had an additional 10,000 king salmon go by, which is our highest count for the year and was definitely unexpected. So there's still some kings in the river.
Is for a daily passage, is that pretty high over the long-term average as well?
Or? Yeah, that's pretty good. For example, a routinely high day for us is somewhere between 6 and 9,000. And we've had a couple of those days already this year. But, yeah, this last week we had a 6,000 day, a 9,000 day, and then another 10,000 day just yesterday.
Yeah.
So we're excited to hear from the Fish Commission when you have the harvest data from the set net opener.
Yeah, so it sounds like for the harvest data with the set net, we're still waiting on. We like to include all the harvest monitors. So, you know, with the community-based harvest monitors from Tuntutu, the Act of Tuluksak. There's also a really big organization in Bethel with ONC and the Fish Cam Surveys. So it sounds like we're still waiting on a little bit of data. The estimate should be out this afternoon. You know, even though I said last week that we should have them by this time, but sometimes data takes a little bit longer to compile and to trying to get it right. So, you know, this afternoon it should come out, and you know, there's places on Facebook and the public where you can listen into those. And, you know, with the weekly teleconference with the Fish Commission happens at 10 a.m. We give those reports then.
Every Tuesday?
Every Tuesday. We give reports there, too. And, you know, the local people can call in and get an update, or just want to ask questions about the Fish Commission and what's going on, or a place just to talk about fish. But there's also the state working group meeting Wednesdays at 10 a.m. that should also have that update as well, along with ONC's update. So many places where you can find these information, find the fishing information. So,
yeah, and all the specific numbers and passcodes for everything can be found on the Intertribal Fish Commission Facebook, KYUK's Facebook, our website, probably elsewhere as well. But Matthew, if you could do me a favor, I don't have the number card in front of me to give out the call out numbers. If you want to read those, or just hand me that card, I need to put out that info real quick. All right, so this is a call-in show. We'd love to get calls. We may have a host change, and we may have another guest actually slip in here at some point, but our call-in numbers are 907-543-5985. That's 543-KYUK. You can also call us 543-2756 or toll-free at 800-995-8954, or even shoot us an email at radio@kyuk.org, and I'll see it on the little screen here. And we'll read it on the air if it's fish-related. So, yeah. One thing I did want to ask about, Sam, when you brought up the Kuskokwim sonar count, there has been word at some of these meetings, I think at the statewide meeting it came up, about discrepancies between, maybe it was the Intertribal Fish Commission meeting, actually. There's so many meetings that overlap. But it was about the discrepancies between the Bethel test fishery and the sonar counts kind of not lining up this year, and people then considering the idea that maybe the test fishery, the channel has shifted and the way that that data is being compiled is changing. And it's something I'm really interested about as far as from a news perspective.
Sure. So our Bethel Test Fish Project has been going on for a long time. And, you know, rivers change over time, as do fish sizes. The sockeye this year, the early sockeye, were pretty small. And so we also thought that they might be just squirting through our 5 3/8-inch mesh. One of the things that we have been doing when we started the sonar camp about 10 years ago is running those two camps side by side so that we can evaluate the strengths of each one. We are, you know, always looking to improve our science. Science is not a set of facts. It's a way of looking at the world, a way of constantly learning new things. And so we are, you know, always evaluating those projects to see how we can upgrade them and have better science. One of the tricky parts is that when we are comparing our data between decades of past year's data, for example, at the Bethel Test Fish, it's sometimes easier for us to understand the mathematical changes between this location with this gear and what we're seeing at the weirs, at the sonar, and come up with a factor to multiply or divide between those two, rather than go and find a whole new site or establish new gear. Just scientifically, that's kind of how it works out. If we were to start looking at a new location, it might take 10 years before we understood what the index of harvest, that CPUE that we talked about last week, the catch per unit effort, what that would mean for that site as compares to all of our escapement points and our harvest points. Yeah.
Has there been any impact, another issue that's come up in these meetings, the Queethluck Weir and Pitka's Fork Weir going unfunded, has that had an impact on your in-season numbers?
The Queethluck Weir was funded this year, but unfortunately, due to high water, they were not able to get it in.
Oh, I see.
So what we do have is an aerial survey that we'll be doing for that river. And I have just been told by our research biologists and folks who've done that aerial survey in the past that the aerial survey and the weir tend to have a very strong relationship, one-to-one. So what I can expect to see with the aerial survey would be would match what we would have seen from the weir on a given year.
Yeah, so we got our first caller. We got Stan calling from Fish Camp. Welcome to Fish Talk, Stan.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
For as long as I can remember, what's today? Oh, I wasn't born yesterday, but for as long as I can remember, July, traditionally, the big kings come in. And a person from upriver used to deliver bring fish to their in-laws up in Kasigiluk. July kings, humongous kings. And they're still running. They'd be red. But, yeah, traditionally, there's been kings, July kings, swimming upriver. And all these small fish that are coming in, I think that's the one good reason or one good explanation. All their food is being scooped up in the Bering Sea by them trawlers. And in Bristol Bay, for so many years, I can't remember, 1995, I think I went fishing in Bristol Bay, but in the Naknek district, they were hanging 4 3/4 and 4 7/8-inch webbing nets because the fish were so small. And to this day, I think they're still small. And this year, we were fishing out there, and yeah, there were lots. I had a 5-inch net, and the fish were still going through. The sockeye, kings, chums. There's something wrong out there. They're starving out there. They're coming in. Well, they look. They call them torpedo fish out in Bristol Bay. They were so narrow. But yeah, they're small. They're getting smaller and smaller, even on this Kuskokwim. So they're scooping up their feed and ruining the ecosystem down in the Bering Sea and trawlers. And if the people on the Yukon all the way up to Canada are willing to sacrifice fishing for 7 years, why can't they do the same out in the Bering Sea, especially them trawlers? There's no native captain out there fishing. There's no native owner, only one floating processor, I think. CVRF owns one, I think. But, yeah, they're not helping me. They're not helping anybody out in this region, YK Delta. So, yeah, they need to make sacrifices out there, too. They're not even local. All those trawlers out there, they go, I don't want to say bad words, but they scrape the bottom and dump fish, dump our subsistence fishing. Go home, millionaires, even the Marianne fishermen. Still make $1 million. The season sucked.
Yeah, and you know, Stan, that actually the Kuskokwim River Salmon Management Working Group is actually, I believe, drafting a letter to North Pacific Fisheries Marine Council. I don't know if Avery or Sam knows about that more, what that letter might look like, but it hasn't. It's in the next meeting. I think they're going to actually address that.
Yeah, we have a draft from Kevin Whitworth, and we'll be discussing that and providing feedback from the working group and any members of the public who want to call in and listen to that meeting. I've got the phone number here. It's 1-800-315-6338. If you want to call in to the working group meeting on Wednesday morning, it usually runs from 10 until 12. And once you dial that 800 number, then there's a meeting code of 58756 and then the pound or the hashtag key.
Yeah, so Stan, if you want to check that out, that's the next move being made kind of to address that issue. There's been a lot of concerns this year, more than I saw last year, and I've only been here a year, but it's on the front of everyone's minds this summer, it sounds like.
Yeah, they finally realize what's going on. I didn't know about them trawlers, how bad they were. In so-called incidental bycatch. That's wanton waste in my dictionary. But, yeah, they need to impose a moratorium on those trawlers, just close it for 7 years. But as long as the Yukon River is closed, they should be closed off, too, down there, along with the Ariane fishermen. Impose a moratorium on them. We went through a 5-year moratorium for moose here. It was imposed. We were surprised. I had to go all the way up to the Hulitna just to see if I can catch a moose. I didn't catch one. But, yeah, they need to impose a moratorium on those area fishermen and pollock fishermen. Somebody needs to put their foot down.
Yeah.
Or lift up somebody's foot and wake them up.
Yeah.
Okay, good morning. Good afternoon.
Thank you for calling, Stan.
Okay.
Good luck
bye-bye.
At fish camp. So I'm done.
I got. Oh. I'm packed up and I dried all my fish ahead of this weather that's coming in. I looked at the weather map and there's never-ending rain starting tonight.
Oh no! Don't say that.
I didn't say that. I saw it.
Oh, you saw it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you got your harvest dried and you did get some harvesting there.
If there weren't tributaries, I wouldn't have made it. But thank God for non-tributaries, Guyana Claw.
Guyana Stan. All right, so we have a new guest to Fish Talk first appearance this season. I'm not sure if you came on last salmon fishing season, but we have Matt McDonald with the Fish and Wildlife Troopers, Alaska Wildlife Troopers. Sorry, I got that so wrong. Sorry. Thanks for joining us, though, if you want to introduce yourself. And have you been on this Fish Talk before?
Yes, sir. I was on last year. I think Sam Berlin and I spoke about caribou back in March. But my name's Senior Federal Wildlife Officer Matt McDonald, and I've been here for about 3.5 years. And this is my fourth fishing season here in the Yukon Delta, and specifically the Kuskokwim. And, I wanted to come on and answer or talk about any kind of law enforcement operations that we've had on the Kuskokwim and action we've taken and talk about regulations and answer questions that anybody might have.
Yeah, I really haven't personally, in, as far as the news department, we haven't checked in and seen how the enforcement is going this year and whether there are issues or whether it's similar to last year or how it's been.
In my personal opinion, I think it's getting better. We all have a role in this whole conservation effort, that everybody understands the vital need to provide it or preserve a food source for future generations. And at the same time, we've got to be very mindful of the enforcement actions that we've taken. Our officers are certainly trained and coached to use a lot of discretion. And the overall end state for us is to help, if the right word is educate, for the folks that are the subsistence users about, what proper placement, legal placement of nets are, or use of nets and that sort of thing. And so 95% or more people are absolutely trying to do the right thing. There are some people that unfortunately don't respect the closures and make it hard for the other folks as they're trying to, get in their fish and that sort of thing. But what we're seeing this season is so far we've done over 50 warnings, and those are if somebody finds that their net has been seized, or if they find a notice from U.S. Fish and Wildlife where their net was placed, we'll typically attach it to the bank anchor of the net, and that notice will describe why there was a warning issued, and that'll leave my name and point of contact and help further explain it. But we try to explain the regulations on that notice. We see a lot of people using long nets when there's a restriction for either a 60 or 75 foot net. We see a lot of people placing nets over 100 feet from the normal mean high tide, and then we see unmarked gear often. But the kind of things that we would consider egregious are people fishing at night, people fishing when the river's closed, and drifting, that sort of thing, and just trying to make efforts not to get caught. We certainly understand that the refuge manager's here in Bethel, and he's the in-season manager for the Kuskokwim, and so he understands probably more than most, about
Spencer Reardon.
Correct. Right. Yeah. And he's grown up in Bethel. He knows what it is to need that that food source. And with that being said, he makes those decisions based on those sort of things.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I have not seen a lot of citations coming up or anything, and it's good that there's able to give warnings. It sounds like it's mostly an issue of, net length going beyond, the set maximum and things, and that you're able to resolve those issues this season,
right,
without too much issue. But I did want to note that we do have host Sam Berlin. It's going to switch out with me, but thank you for checking in, and I will be listening into the rest of the show. But I'm going to jump out here and give it over to host Sam Berlin here.
All right, thank you, yeah. Evans, and thank you for sitting for me. I had a problem getting out of that slough. We have a man's tides out there, and it's really low. Barely made it out, but I'm here. Take a break from feeding the mosquitoes. It's good to know that there will always be someone here that will cover for us when we're not here. I'm not very sure what's being discussed here. So, Matt, were you?
Yeah, Sam. We were just discussing like the law enforcement actions that's taken place this year, and one thing I covered was over 50 warnings that we've given. We've got we've only issued one notice of violation, and so when somebody has a seized net, that's a $280 fine. I know that seems like a steep net, but once again, a steep fine rather. But once again, we have used, you know, a lot of discretion when dealing with people. And so we've concentrated the first half of the season on a lot of educational efforts and that sort of thing. And, you know, we don't want to make the habit of doing multiple educational encounters for the same people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we attempt to do the warning, we attempt to solve matters with the discussion, but if it continues, obviously we have to take further measures, seizing nets, seizing fish, you know, writing notice of violations. And so that being said, you know, we've only issued one notice of violation with one pending. We've seized four nets this year. All four of those, we talked to the people that encountered, and those were returned. But we are actively patrolling, and mm-hmm. we're patrolling the tributaries. We've got airplanes. We've got our crews on boats. And so we're constantly looking. And, you know, the other thing that I think, and I want to, you know, whoever's listening, and I want to really appreciate this, is that people have been very cooperative with us this season. I know it's a strain, and I know, you know, we want more numbers, and we want bigger fish, mm-hmm. like we all do. We want to provide that food source for our families, and I completely understand that. But we've had, you know, some elders have reached out, and other people in the communities to tell us about violations that are going on, and that's mm-hmm. been super helpful, and I want to encourage that. They can always contact me. You know, my number is listed on the Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge page. It's 907-227-2002. People can call that number anytime. They can contact me via email by reaching out to the Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge and looking at the staff. They can mm-hmm. contact me directly that way. So just want to say thank you for those people that have you know, taken the initiative and come forward and discussed those matters.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious about the length of our nets that we're using.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen nets that were fairly long.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And when there's a number of us that are abiding by what's being set.
Correct.
And we have like maybe two or three people that are out there and refuse to abide by what's been said.
Right.
My question is, when that is being fully charged, if a person is fully charged with whatever happened,
mm-hmm.
is that going to affect the other fishermen that are in the Kuskokwim? Will that cause a closure?
No, not at all. We don't make decisions mm-hmm. for the openings based on a law enforcement activity and compliance. That's not solely make the decision based off of the numbers and that sort of thing that we're getting, both
good.
Sam has talked about, you know, from the test fish and from the sonar. But, you know, just so folks understand, if someone is caught with a long net and they have fish in the net, just the way the fine works, and I think it's best that we're all being transparent here, that fine is $280, and then we can charge $500. I'm sorry, $250 per fish.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody could face a very significant fine for more than the value of the net mm-hmm. eventually, you know, after you add all the different fish in the net. And obviously that's the last thing we want to do. I understand, you know, nets are more than $1,700. I know they're very expensive, and some nets have been in the family for many generations. And so I'm a fisherman as well. I respect that. And so at the same time, as you mentioned, Sam, you know, you're trying to play by the rules and conserve, do your part in the conservation effort, and so is everybody else. And so so we will be taking action when we see, you know, we, like I said, early season we did a lot of educational efforts. Now it'll be a lot of enforcement actions.
Yeah, it's these late salmon runs are bound for these tributaries that are closer, like in Guichlik, Kizra, like Kasigluya, Tuluksak. Those fish are bound for these little closer ones that these king salmon that are coming in late. That's where they're headed. All of the first runs are probably up at, I don't know where, somewhere else. But I'm very thankful, yeah. It worries me sometimes that we might lose our privilege to go out. Then other means will come into play once we lose our fishing rights out there subsistently. Then there's going to be more crime. And, I mean, I can see it. We do have a caller. Fish Camp Gaukak. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. A lot of people don't have jobs. The only thing that they have is dividends. So I wish you guys could think. They don't have a regular job, take home. Be considerate to those people that don't have any job, that can't afford to buy anything. Some people don't have boats. Some people don't have nets. Not all of them can afford those.
Okay, Kuyana. Akuna awai apkawut kakalugu, translating what we have been through. Akuna awai apkawut kakalugu. Kalakinan gagini una su una. Muris kilu ni una ni kuskokpak mi pilre. Makuni kubianik pil kubialu tapism ni. Ayakini kiluting awai pilhat ni. Makuni kat citations, like a warning. Tamakunik taim kali kanik piluting pishout. Kwani kwa kanhtuk mai pism kingok senik toi mai matumit kiskumtni anguk ting ay piriluki kwaspinga ay riluki su tauna individual person na ataw chikyuk pilre Dotnalre, Fainau Mach Gauluni, $280 Tikiluku, Changtai Lu, Dotn Jali, Changtai Nakt Ayuk Nrilingu, Dotn Pitakluki Jali, Bima Yuk Naluni, Makut Jali, Maligu Suting Pinrilingu, Makun, Nalakut, Nun Pilren, Awai Aptimni, umgakau jetnik tamakut pitkluki hankuta toh maligu suuta pilrääni makuunun tapku suuta pinaa yksuta umkut na yksuta pismne päänga tot tamanat kiisuku pingait hiljutin but caller fish camp I'm Stan. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Did I hear right? $250 fine per fish.
Mr. Stan, this is Officer McDonald. So, yes, sir, that's correct. It's within the officer's purview and discretion to charge that amount. But, you know, we have a lot of discretion, a lot of tools at our disposal to change the behavior is what we're looking to do. And so often, like I mentioned, you know, in the early season, that we really focused our efforts on warnings and educational contacts. But this late in the season, and as much, you know, time and effort of myself and other officers have put into it, you know, if we did want to take the full, our full, I guess, measure of enforcement action, we could charge $280 for the net, and then subsequent forfeiture of $250 per fish. So that is correct.
That sounds like a really good idea for the trawlers. Find them $250 per fish for discarding them, disposing them, wasting them.
Yeah, yes, sir. I don't disagree with you at all.
Yeah, I'd like to see some of that money once we start finding them.
Okay, yes, sir.
Good afternoon.
Kuya na. Ako na stoy chali apkhe. Mani una ni kuskok pakmi nknik tigut put tigu makumta ngu makumta naka attau chak 280 tiki suku attau chak naka chang daput doi tang suki mayuri nakaluni pek kauluni tau na multiply akaluni per fish that's wow, I wish they could do that to truck dealers or these bootleggers. $280 for each bottle. Ah, that will work fine for me. We do have another caller, Iman from Bethel. Good afternoon.
Good morning, afternoon to all of you.
Mm-hmm.
We understand, and that lady that called, you tell them. Yeah, Stan, right. Easy to give my people, me and my people, warnings and citations. Just like Stan said, no citation and warning for them trawlers out there. And that overfishing. No, me and my people only. First, that's not right. Yeah, I heard the word astonishing on the fish that's coming. We all said we give public comment on escapement. We got to have that yearly fish escapement. And that's the key to all the AYK rivers, Arctic, Yukon, and rivers for the fish to come back. There are these restrictions. Shall I say, you made me and my people like this. Why? I always said they're desperate. They're stressed. Undue stress. Why? They got to put up winter food for the winter. That's why. They're desperate. When I say that, we're on restrictions. We fish on certain days, and it becomes combat fishing. I see them long nets out there. Well, don't make them too big like that lady said. They're mostly unemployed. They took away our commercial fishing. And that was the only income for the air for most me and my people back then. You remember, Sam?
Yeah.
And when it was open fishing, we had none of this illegal stuff going on. We fished 24/7. We never overfished. Only what we needed. It's always been that way. Till the restrictions came. Don't you guys know yet? It put stress on me and my people. And to do these illegal things. We understand. And that lady, I'm glad they're giving public comment. That makes me happy. Maybe I should retire now. Thanks. And another thing, the set net opening, it's too slow. Why I say that? We go set our net, and if they're not catching, we come back home and wait. Like 4 hours, then we go check it and order the next day. We keep checking them 4 hours. That's delaying our process to process food. And it's easier for us to drift, to give us a drift net opening. This set net, there's not enough set nets to go around either. Only one they're catching is when the high tide comes in. And they should break that, what you call that, high tide mark off. Why I say that? There's not enough eddies to go around. And this set net only openings are delaying to put our food away for the winter. Koyana, for giving my comment.
Ee, koyana, paskala klin. Ya, akuna awa chali, kaya gaulu nipilra, akunun kaya gaulrin and male gusu nipi, koya wiklu klu. Chali, makunik. Biluni ptugeluting versus atchtagluting pilashatta jalilu makut kamaktah kaput kinchilri tagaluting chukkainani kramta imilchit ya huyang sakrihto rainy seasons has caught up to us and we missed all that beautiful, beautiful, sunny, dry season. Very excellent time to dry fish. We missed it. But life goes on, you know. It's frustrating. I agree with these callers because I fought to get out of that little slough to get over here. Barely made it out, but I made it. It's muddy. It's dirty. all those other good stuff, you know. But it's life, you know. We go on. We live on. Yeah, we'll face citations. We'll face fines. But life goes on. Don't fret. Don't lose hope, people. We'll still be here. I'd like to hear other things like, do you have a report that you want to do, Sam?
Well, before you got here, Sam, we did a quick update on what was happening at the sonar.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some good news. That was yesterday, the sonar counted 10,500 kings,
ooh-hoo,
which was a nice late, yeah, bump of kings. We're pretty happy to see that number. And then we also had 28,000 sockeye go past.
Wow.
And we think that's low because of the set net fishery, mm-hmm, that was happening for the last, yeah, 48 hours. So we're eager to see what was harvested that time. Mm-hmm. And then we also had about 4,000 of the sheefish and the whitefish go by.
Mm.
So there's still plenty of those in the river to be caught as well. And I have a reminder for everyone in Bethel that we have our test fish distribution bin that is down right next to the no wake sign.
Yeah, I saw it.
At the, mm-hmm, yeah, right at the mouth of the harbor. And thank you to the folks over there at the port who manage the harbor for allowing us to put the bin there. So our test fishing crew drops off fish about 3 hours after the high tide, and the fish will go there into the bin, and anyone from the public can come and collect some fish. We've been hearing that folks are being very generous with each other, and that even when there are 20 or 30 people waiting in line for the fish, that they're counting the fish and making sure that everyone goes home with an equal distribution of fish, which is nice to hear that. Just a reminder that once those fish go into the test fishing bin, they are considered subsistence fish. So when we are counting for all the different ways that fish are, you know, we're counting our escapement, we're counting our sonar counts, we're counting our aerial surveys, we're counting the harvest numbers when we're doing our run reconstruction at the end of the year, these ones are considered subsistence fish. So they can be shared, they can be eaten fresh, they can be put up in any way that you would like for the wintertime. They can be fed to dogs, or parts of the fish can be fed to dogs, any of the traditional uses, but they cannot be sold. So I just want to make sure that everyone is aware of that. We did also hear that Akiak has been without power for quite some time. Mm-hmm. I had a phone call this morning from a lady up there and an email from Mike Williams. And so if we have any callers from Akiak, I want to let everyone know that if you can organize a boat to come down to the sonar site, you can give them a call. And the sonar site phone number is 907-545-1843. Let them know that you're coming from Akiak and that you're picking up for multiple families, and they'll hold fish for you and make sure that you get some fresh fish.
Very good. That's good to know. We do have a caller that has been online for quite some time. Our apologies. Anonymous from Bethel, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I just want to thank those earlier callers, all of them, giving good information. One thing I want to say was, I know it was brought up before to one of the men, persons around here for our fishing, when they do a drifting, there's elders that would like to go out to, or not drifting, but sitting. Elders should be allowed to do the drifting because they want to get their fish done and taken care of right away when we have the good weather. But you said we missed out on the good weather that we could have had our fish all done. Fish looks like to seems like to be slacking down because we got some sockeyes, one chum mostly, not mostly, but equal amount of whitefish using a whitefish net. We're not using our 5-6-inch mesh net, but just wanted to put my 1 cent in. Elders should be allowed to do their drifting while everybody that is able to do their set net. And thank you for the day. Have a good day. Thank you for taking my call. Good afternoon.
Yeah. Ako na sa wakaya gawlga chali makunik ka pilu ni koyak sukiya kut kaya gawlgit. Sukani samam awai pilhi namprat ako kut escapement dat. That's good to know that fish are passing through 10,000 kings. Wow. Heading into Kuhlik, heading into Kizralik, kasigluyagak. That's good to know. That's really good to know. Number of reds and chums that are going through. Kuyanakok. Kanalupispinak kanani, Port Harboram katum, ang yagavim, chikhani, no wake sign alikum, kailik, ngay nani, ayalkam, Saina nunini kloni peni pinnakuitauk. Naknik prasalganik piukufchi nutak yukufchi. 3 hours after high tide. High tide akpikakchuku. Naknik prasalganik after 3 hours. Yeah, and like she said, let's be generous and, just enough. And think of others if there's a long line. Another caller from the coast, Anonymous. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Ikitak.
Hello. I'm calling from the coast. But anyway, whenever I hear about these going after us with law enforcement, even though I'm just sitting, I get nervous. I mean, that I don't know what that feeling is. But I wish you guys, I mean, the law enforcement should reconsider the dollar figure fines and a fish per fish dollar signs up those that you catch, why not just pull in the unloosen one end of the fish net and just pull in the net to the shore and put your name there, your contact info. Why you had to pull in that net? I think that's a better solution because we're broke. So, and also, ever since Tony or so years back, we've been living under restrictions. And to me, the subsistence users have not really benefited from our own efforts. The way I see it is the only benefit that they're receiving is those foreign fishermen out there and those trawlers and whatnot. We're doing it for them, not for us. We're not benefiting. All right. We're on for letting me speak my 2 cents worth. Thank you. Bye.
Ee kuya nqwa akuna tsalaw e kaya gaulga a unga ken a maku nek tsale pilu ne una ne imakhpim illo ne trawler at maku tsu seiner at pilri tuna ne maku ne khonkuta kusqoqpakmi restrict aw maluta a bisti galput itkhluki kitukhluki conservation. What are we conserving for? For the future? For the future of our people? Or are we conserving for the people that are fishing out in the ocean? Good question. I like that remark. What that caller had put out. Nutanadam. I like it. Another caller. Nunap Jom Kpamakan Murray Chris. Good afternoon.
Hello?
Yee?
Hello, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Hi, cousin. I haven't speaking with you for a long, long time because one of my published truth, my Regis Prakar, what's the name?
Uminakva.
I got so many puppies in my house, tearing my shoes, tie, my radio, my coat, everything. They piss me off. Okay, Sam, can you hear me?
Yeah, need a turn.
I'm going to try my best speaking in English. First, I'll say I'm not much good speaking in English, but I try my best and speak. I'm not going to hide it. Okay, what I like to see is first is I hope you understand me, Sam. I'll try my best. What I've been hearing about this almost every year about fishing. What's going on? I like to know what's going on, but to me, how you see that? Wish I can speak in Eskimo right now, but I'm we got to speak in English, Sam. What's going on will go on every day. I'm tired of it, but I listen to it because I like to hear what's going on around us. around, especially in Kaskokwim, where our fish, our food, native food, as natives are these fish are our food. We are born here in Alaska. Native people are born here in Alaska, in native villages. And these food, fish, any kind of animal leak coming from where? These are our food. We are born here in our village. I don't know how to see that. I'm trying my best. I want to cry right now. I'm full of tears in my throat, but I will not let it out. What I've been hearing is almost every day, talking about the fishing, meeting and fishing, violation, firing, new job, new food, nothing. How we going to eat? How these people are native people and other people have grandkids. We got all got a lot of grandkids, great grandkids, and women are pregnant. Who's going to take care of them? We're not going to live forever. When parents goes, who's going to take care of them? Too sad. I got a lot of things to talk about. First, I was talking about a fishing. I'm getting headache, but I like to listen to it, and because I like to hear what's going on around us and in Kuskokwim. This year, I'm through every year when fishermen when they can start fishing. I'm on their side, even they're not my brothers, even they're not my relatives, I'm on their side. When it's fishing coming, time to fish, I pray. And now, I want them to fish good and take care of the fish what they caught. Be safe when you are fishermen in Kuskokwim fishing. I'm on their side. I pray for them to catch a lot of fish. Even though you catch few, don't say, "Oh, I caught a little lot, too little." I don't know how to see it. I'm very happy. A lot of fishermen in Kuskokwim are here. I've been hearing about them. They catch a lot of fish for winter. And we don't know what's going to be like in the winter. But we all know the winter is so long. It is long, long, longer than summer. So fishermen say, just fish. Don't be lazy. Be strong and pray. And I'm praying for you guys. I always pray, even I don't know how to pray. I hope all of you fishermen and others too in other native villages too. I hope they all catch a lot of fish for winter. We all got to eat. We get hungry. If we don't eat this, our stomach is not happy. It's sad. We got to eat. I'm so happy for you guys, and I'm happy for you, Sam, you fish, and our relatives. and others too. I am happy for you. I love you. Even I know how to. I'm not much good speaking in English, but I try my best to speak. Yeah. Thanks for letting me speak. Okay. Before I go up, I want to see this fast. I knew. I've been hearing how many years what's going on to other this. Since we come here to Alaska, everything is alkuluktuk. How you see the thing in at the name of alkuluktuk? We are like that right now. We don't know what to do sometimes. But we gotta be strong and do what we gotta do. We gotta live. We gonna live and we gonna live. So let us be more stronger and to be strong and be do what we gotta do. Fish and moose hunting. Berry picking. These are very important for us and all of each one of you and for us too, for me too. Even though I don't fish and I live alone by myself with my 10 dogs. But my family helps me once in a while. I talk enough, maybe, Sam. Thank you very much for letting me talk, Sam. Even though I don't know how to speak in English, I'm praying for you fishermen. You fishermen know what's going on around us and around us since this happened. More coming. This Alaska is our village, Nunakaput. We born here, and the river is our river. The food, native food, is our food. We live on this native food because there are food. I don't know how to see it. Okay, Sam, thank you very much. Wish I can speak good in English, but I can't. But as best as I can, I'm speaking. Okay, whoever, each one of you listening, I'm sending you all a happy and send a smile and big hug and have a nice evening. Oh, before I close, if Robert Nick, if you're listening to your cousin Marie Krisik, Robert Nick, I want to see to you, I give you a hug and a big smile. I know how you feel, and I know how we others too. And Bobby Hoffman, if you're listening, I know you listen to the station. If you're listening, Bobby Hoffman, I send you a big hug and big smile and happiness. Okay, you be strong and live long. And same to you, Robert Nick, my cousin. I send you, Robert, big hug and big smile. I think of both of you and your family since what happened to one of your families. Okay, thank you, Sam, for letting me see. Okay, thank you, bye.
Yes, let's, listeners, stick with fishing. This is Fish Talk. So let's keep the subject on fish. Avery, you have stuff that you want to bring out?
Yeah, I got some updates.
Yeah, there you go.
So, as most of the people know in the Kuskokwim, that the second set net fishery for the month of July just ended today at noon. And the Fish Commission and Yukon Delta will have a meeting on Wednesday, the 7th, to see how the numbers have been and what we're going to do for the river management-wise. and we won't know until then. So once we come out with something, usually the turnaround is pretty fast for announcement of openers or setnet opener. So we'll just have to wait and see what the managers would like to do from here on out. It sounds like looking at the sonar numbers, it's Sam and I looking pretty good this year. So just a reminder that there are other places where you can go fishing 24/7, and federally qualified users can retain all salmon, like areas of the non-spanning tributaries 100 yards in with gill nets. So that's like Guik and the Johnson. You may also use alternative selective gear type in the main San Cusquim, like dip nets, rod and reel, or fish chains. And above the Kalskeg line, it is open 24/7 with gear restrictions. And then, again, the federally qualified users may use rod and reel in the anti-ag box and can keep any pink salmon, chum salmon, and jack salmon, kings under 20 inches. Any kings that are bigger than 20 inches, you can keep two per day. And with the chum and coho, cannot be kept. And no other gear type can be used. So, again, the federally qualified user is a person who permanently resides for at least 1 year in the communities along the Kuskokwim or Kuskokwim Bay. And only these people may drive a boat, pull the net, and any non-federally qualified users can help process, carry, eat, smoke, and other fish camp chores like and taking fish home. Besides that, we have the eDNA, the Environmental DNA projects on the Takatna and on the George. This eDNA is something that is fairly new to us. So I believe this is like our second year working on this, and it takes water samples to analyze the fish data presence and determine what fish and how many are in the river at a given time. So these are projects that we're trying to utilize to help count fish in the river when, you know, weirs are not able to get put in due to high water. With drone, based stock assessment project, we have Danny Airback with Washington University out here is a project lead, and we're planning to head out to the Kuitluk River to raft the Kuitluk River down with a drone to help count fish, do some habitat and artificial intelligence data work. So from starting July 14th to the 28th, we will be rafting the Kuitluk River from about the confluence of the Kruka Creek quite a ways upriver, and we'll be floating down the Kuitluk River using a drone, taking some data and seeing try to find more efficient ways to accurately count salmon in the tributaries. With the Takatna River Weir, we have been fish tight as of 6:30. We started counting fish on July 1st. As of July 7th, we have counted 13 Chinook salmon, 63 chum salmon, and this is way upriver up at the Takatna River Weir. We are also collecting ASL for Chinook and chum, and ASL is the age, sex, and length with the using the scales of the fish, along with collecting chum otolith and genetic samples to enhance the bycatch genetic analysis to determine what fish are being intercepted in the oceans. We are still working on water temperature monitoring on the Kuitluk and the Kuskokwim. And my last thing is the bycatch and intercept fishery. Not much different than last week. But the Bering Sea fishing with the Chinook salmon bycatch as of July 4th is at 8,000, and 6,500 of that is from the Pollock fisheries. On average, 50% of these Chinook are from Western Alaska, including the Kuskokwim. Western Alaska also includes the AYK region, which is the Arctic, Kuskokwim, and the Yukon. Bering Sea fishery with the chum salmon, as of 6/27, it's just about 9,000, with 8,000 of that in the Pollock fishery. And on average, 12 to 20% of these chums are projected for Western Alaska. You know, most of the chum bycatch occurs between mid-June to late August each year for that Bering Sea fisheries and the pollock. Lastly, the Area M is, I don't know if that has updated, these update every Thursday, but it's still about 418,000 chums. And just a little bit more update on that there. The Area M fishery intercept high numbers of Western Alaska chum salmon fishing migrated through False Pass and Umiak Pass during these months of June. In the last 15 years, anywhere from 18 to 57% of the chum salmon caught in Area M are for in the June fisheries are for Western Alaska. And last year, in 2023, 28%, which is about 1 in 4 of the chum salmon caught in the Area M June fishery, were for Western Alaska. Lastly, the harvest this year did not meet the cap set by the Board of Fish in February 2023 to limit or close June fisheries and conserve Western Alaska salmon migrating to this region.
Mm. Yeah, that's a pretty high number, 418,000, half a million. Woo-hoo. Man, that's a lot of fish being taken away, bound for these rivers, intercepted, interception.
So
they fish right in the area where there is no river at all.
Yeah, and it gets confusing. That's why we're trying to do some more genetic samples just to get more of an understanding of, you know, which salmon are caught are projected for the AYK or Kuskokwim region. So, you know, every year it varies of the percent of chum salmon that are caught that are projected mm-hmm. for Western Alaska. So,
yeah.
You know, big river systems or big waterways and, you know, there's a lot going on. But so we try to do what we can mm-hmm. to help out the conservation of chum salmon out in that area. So, you know, we just got to keep at it.
Yep. The more noise we make, somebody's got to hear it one of these days and make sense of it. We do have a caller, Anonymous. Good afternoon.
I'm wondering why you guys are keeping count of fish. I mean, it don't make any sense why you guys would be making or doing counts of fish on the Kuskokwim River. I mean, it's kind of funny that you guys do such thing. I mean, to our people also closing such subsistence way of life when it's been going on like hundreds of years and years, and these people come along saying, oh, no, there's no more fish, there's no more fish. I mean, like, everything just don't make sense at all. Why such thing came?
Yeah. Aku na wai pichakan redakputta takwam when you're calling in, make sure that you are set to make a point pertaining to the number of fish that you are hearing, to what's happening out there in the Kuskokwim in the Yukon area. Our coastal waters, tamakunik, stick to the point. That way, people that are waiting to make calls will get that opportunity to get their point across. Akuna pitsak ngritak puta, ako lakluku, takwama, magunik, Mani kuskokwim illoni kwalkwihbim unani lu changin rum kwenhak good news area damani pilranik makunik nknik tkit lhanik sonara tun muril kluki pilrit damakunik pilu tapiukutta awailu mat matam pilkhmini makunik beginning in the start when the season first started, they were citing people paper, just a piece of paper saying this is a warning. And if that same person gets caught after that first warning, maybe like the second or the third, then something has to happen. It's just like any other lawbreaker. Like when we break the law, we might get cited. Yeah. And then after that, then the judge is going to get stricter. So keep that in mind. Matt, do you have any additional? We don't have very much time left here. Only 15 more minutes.
I just want to reemphasize that, you know, by and large, people are doing the right thing. You know, once again, I left my number earlier. It's 907-227-2002. If you have questions about the regulations that you don't understand, feel free to reach out anytime. And I'd be glad to, you know, table those conversations just to help people understand the other part. You know, as I mentioned, that those fines are steep, but they're steep for a reason. That's for the only offset chance where somebody is, you know, openly and clearly breaking the law, and they know that they are. We all understand the dire need to provide that winter food source. And so we take that into consideration, but that's, you know, we use those, type fines in that situation for the most egregious type circumstances.
Mm-hmm. And I haven't really seen, strict applications, very, very strict applications on people that are being caught. I haven't seen it yet. And out in the bay also, people that are chucking fish, to try and keep their fishing opportunity open to a certain type of fish or species. To keep under that cap, they're throwing them away. And those fish that are being caught out there by catch, be it by catch or be it at false pass, they are all bound for some river. They are bound for some river. Let it be Russia. Let it be here in Alaska. They're bound for somewhere. So it doesn't really make any difference where they're headed. They're headed somewhere to spawn. So I don't know what it's going to take for the government to take action, for the state to step up and say, hey, this is wrong. Discrimination. I feel it. I feel we're discriminated, people that are in these rivers, by these people that are out in the bay, that come in from the lower 48s. Take it. Yes, they come from somewhere else, and they fish out there. They make their money. After they're all done, they leave. And none of that money gets generated here in our state. None of it. It's taken out. So, people, it's time to step up and start talking. Yeah. Let's start writing letters to our senators. We need to step up and do our part. And when these call-in shows are on, come on, people, call. We'd like to hear what's in your mind. And not just this bad information or bad news. I'd like to hear something good once in a while. Like how this weather has been for the chances that that we caught our fish, and wow, they turned out really, really good. They're in our smokehouse. People are starting to pull out their fish and storing them away. It's real good. I wish those days would stay here, but they're going away. It's almost berry season. I'm thankful for the rain for our berries, so that they'll be plentiful too when it's for us to go out and pick those. My wife and I, we were out gathering greens the other day. They were good. Angukaraks, we call them. I don't know what they call them in English, but they're good. They're good with agurak. They're really good and high in vitamin C. So there's other things, people, that we can harvest. And whitefish, they're still abundant. I hope they'll always stay that way, because that's my favorite food, is that round head akakik. That's my favorite fish. We have another caller, Anonymous. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sam.
Yikitak.
You know, there's a place called Cape Cod. And ironically, there's no more cod there. They took all the fish away. And the way things are going, it's like there's going to be no more salmon here, too. Just like the dodo and the Tasmanian tiger. So kind of bear that in mind. There's a Cape Cod, no more cod. All right, Sam, you be well, all right? Try and bear that in mind.
Ee, kuyanakpa. Akuna tawa jali kalalga, makuniknik. Cape Cotam goi pikiluni pilra, makunikotanik damani pit pilashulset and pitairusuni. They're all gone. I heard. Have you guys heard of this fisherman that showed up right near below Kipnak, Nelson Island area, going after what they call those yellowfin flatfish? Yeah, we have pictures of them. There's people that took photos of people that went out, maybe up to like five boats, large boats, and they catch all that they say yellowfin, but that is the same time when the salmon are heading up into the Arctic area too, so. These are some of the things that happen. They're out there. We know about them. Native person, a native Yupik person, is basically a quiet person. They usually don't speak out most of the time. My generation is kind of a little loudmouth. We speak out what do we feel, and our younger generation is going to be worse. I can see it. You can see it too, right? The schools are getting a little louder. Kids don't listen too much anymore. So I look back at my past, and when growing up, I was one of those naughty little boys that don't listen very much. We all grew up like that one time or another. I thank all the people that made calls this afternoon. We're still here. Colin, Matt.
And just one thing we want to encourage people to do is to fish using alternative methods and means, right? It's starting to take on, and I know traditionally it's not a practice that's been here forever, but the dip net technique, and we saw a lot of people starting to use that in and around Bethel last year, and they were able to get quite a number of sockeye. So as Ms. Sam just mentioned, you got a spike in sockeye. And with the spike in sockeye, you know, using the dip net in the shallower channels where the sockeye run on the edge of the river, I just went to the Copper River and we fished for about 10 hours and we got 200 sockeye. You know, that's good fit when it's between four families, but nonetheless, you know, it's a great method, especially as the sockeye numbers start to increase. And I know in some of the villages, they, I've seen some folks dip netting outside in the Pakiak, and I'd like to see that more. And, you know, people would still be able to get, their number, total numbers, for the year that way.
Challenge. It's a challenge.
Yep.
Yeah, it must be fun. Avery?
Yeah, you know, with that dip netting on the Kuskokwim, it's starting to become more of a popular thing in the month of early months of July or early weeks of July. So we generally try to go out when on the incoming tide, and you can do it from the boat or kind of like on a sandbar to an eddy. I personally do it myself, and I do pretty good on the incoming tide, and you know, backing that up with the sonar numbers, that the spike in the reds about 20,000 to 25,000 reds kind of pass per day, and for about a week. So you know, to make most out of your effort to go about now, and you know, and if you don't have a dip net, there are, I believe ONC still has the rental dip net service, so you can reach out to them and see if there's any availabilities for the dip net. So, you know, but anywhere really around the Kuskokwim River, you can catch from the boat if you hook it up from the bow. So the rope's doing all the work if you're idling down the river. You know, if you need to save gas, you can do it stationary from the beach.
Or drift with it.
Yeah. You know, these are alternative gear types. So, you know, there's endless possibilities of ways that, what works for you. So, just go out there, try it out. You know, it's a good family outing and, you know, it's something active and productive you can do to, get fish and put food away for the winter.
Yeah. And it's something to do. Yeah. Instead of sitting around and twiddling our front thumbs, you know. But anyway, fish camp life is, there's always something to do. There's always work. I am lack of sleep right now, due to the opener, and my wife's still cutting across there. I tried not to catch too much because my wife has arthritis, so I tied up some of the net, and I still got the same amount of fish when I started out. So God is generous. I'm thankful for that. Sam, do you have anything to add?
I'd just like to remind folks that the working group meeting is Wednesday at 10 o'clock in the morning. And again, the phone number for that is 1-800-315-6338. And then the code is 58756, followed by that pound or hashtag sign. Mm-hmm. So we look forward to everybody dialing in and participating in our meeting.
All right. Yeah. Una kwani kusa sakputa ikuklit ngahtuka umgutaitnik negahnahtukut right now. Closing remarks going around the table. Avery, whatever you want to say to our listeners.
I just want to thank the people that take time out of the day to listen to Fish Talk or call in for us for something to talk about. But, you know, I'm leaving on that raft trip next week. So, you know, be gone for 2 weeks. So I'm not sure if I'll be able to make it back for another Fish Talk. So thanks, Sam, and thanks, everyone, for listening.
E? Matt?
Sam, thanks again for being here. And, you know, please reach out to anyone with, questions on about the regulations or anything that they think I should know, anytime. And I appreciate this opportunity.
All right. Thank you, Sam.
I'd just like to say how much I enjoy coming on the show, Sam, and hearing you translate everything into Yuchtun. Uh-huh. It's really wonderful. I'm going to be planning my aerial surveys about a week from now. I'll be leaving to go and get those started. So I'll be coordinating with Avery's rafting crew on the Kwithluk and trying to do my aerial survey at the same time. Otherwise, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, for today's fish talk, next week, Monday, same time, same station, same tune. Call in next week, Monday.